Rejoice not in that, but rather that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that right there is what throws a lot of people. They say, well, then they must have been Christians. Now, I got news for you. God is not willing that any should perish. And if you read to the end of the book, you find out that everybody starts out with their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That was always his desire. There is only a blotting out later on. But every man, including the 70, the 120, and others who did miracles in his name, still had to, as Jews, face the day when they would say, Jesus and nothing else. And that was a struggle for Israel. Hence the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is all about a man led by the Spirit of God, one of the most incredible books in the Bible, in my opinion, in the way that it reveals Jesus. And it is a Jewish man. We don't know for sure who he is. I mean, the anointing of God all over that book, revealing Jesus, a heart that is pleading with Israel, please leave this behind and go on into perfection. That is Jesus plus nothing. Amen. How many are glad for Jesus today? So that is, you know, this thing. I'm so glad that the grace message does exactly what John said. His perfect love for us cast out all fear. The more that you learn about the grace of God, the more fear will be eradicated out of your life, and you will be have confidence before God. I'm so glad that I don't have to be perfect for fear before God to be removed. Every time I say that, the picture is brought to my mind of a little guy, now a grown man, little guy Mephibosheth, a baby, who is in the arms of a maidservant, running in terror for no reason at all. There's a scripture in Proverbs says that the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous, how many righteous we got in the house today? But the righteous are bold. Somebody find that verse. The address is slipping my mind. I just quoted it. Find it. Look it up on your phone. Real quick for me. But the scripture says, the wicked flee when no man pursues. One of the key signs of somebody who's separated from God is in some form or another, you live and work and operate out of fear. The world is full of fear today. Everything, all around you. But I'm so glad the more we see Jesus revealed, and that's what we mean when we say the more grace is unlocked. We're literally talking about the revelation of, the revealing of who Jesus is, how complete his work was for us. How many are glad for Jesus today? And the more we learn it, the more you get a hold of the true gospel, the more fear should leave you. And let me go back to what I meant by this. I'm so glad that for fear to leave and confidence before God to be in place does not mean that you have to be perfect, because there is no one perfect after the flesh save Jesus himself. Now we should strive to be perfected in this and to look more and more. Well, look at it. You got the scripture? Proverbs, man, it's there. I should have known that. The minute it started out of your mouth, it hit me. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursues. Here is Mephibosheth in the arms of a maidservant, fleeing from the palace where David now was taking over. David didn't intend any harm. We see that later he pursues family. One of those being, I'm skipping a lot, paraphrasing heavily here, but he pursues family, among which now, because the maidservant fell, and that baby boy, as a result of that fall, was crippled. Now a grown man is invited into the king's palace, a guest of honor, called family, and Mephibosheth sits in a seat in the palace with a table filled with bounty and provision, called one with the king. His brokenness and his lameness hidden beneath a table of provision. No fear before the king. A picture of you and I. How many know that we got some things to work out? How many have a little brokenness in your life somewhere? You may have a little bit of brokenness in your life somewhere. I'll tell you what, for the rest of our life, as we let our minds be renewed to the truth of God's Word and the truth of who we are in Him, in the Spirit, there will always be a part of us that will be incomplete and dependent on Him. That's the one danger of the grace message. If we lose sight of that and think, oh, now I can do this alone. John said the way this love thing works, the way this grace thing works, our love for God can directly be correlated with what is going on in respect to our love for others. So how many know great grace given? That's undeserved favor. Therefore, we are able by faith to give great grace where we may think it is not deserved. And I'll tell you what, I'm here today because of men who spoke things into my life when I didn't believe it about myself. But their words of love and affirmation stuck and hung deep. And when I was in the most discouraged state, I could hear men of God who spoke under the anointing and said, Lee, someday, bam, 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 bam. Be encouraged in God this morning. Mephibosheth, his brokenness unseen at a table of bounty without any fear. Perfect love, John said, cast out all fear. How many are learning more about the perfect love of God for us? Hallelujah. Our expectations. What do you expect as we come in here? Looking at John 15, let's let things settle. Regardless of where your background is, let it be simply the unveiling of Jesus. I'll tell you what, I think, have you ever noticed that in sports or in a hobby or whatever it is, sometimes we get tunnel vision? And it's like the harder we drive at something, the worse it gets. We get hurried. We get frantic. We want so bad to make the goal. And in that process, we just get tunneled out. And we actually are kicking our goal away. Sometimes, not sometimes, most of the time, it does us good to take a breath. Back off the project. Go take a walk. Go take a drive. How many of you notice that? Holy Spirit, I don't know what is the matter with this truck. I've done everything I know how to do. I'm going to take a drive, get my mind off this, come back. And in the process of just resting, I knew that. Or put you in contact with somebody that did know. How many know that the best way? How many in here? You know, I have seen Sunday morning services, our worship this morning. It's going to happen in here. Get ready. But I've been in worship services in churches that I've started and been involved with, packed houses, as Jesus was unveiled. And suddenly, without anybody expecting it or drive, well, they were expecting a lot. But without driving towards a personal particular goal or agenda, they just begin to relax and enjoy Jesus. I've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues without anybody ever even touching them in the middle of a worship service. And it wasn't weird, and it wasn't strange, and it was no big deal. It was a big, big deal in God. But I'm saying it's not what everybody tries to make it out to be. Man, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's nothing to be afraid of. You know, we got a church up the road. Quit criticizing them and pray for them. But there's a lot of strange things that have happened. And I understand people being, whoa, if you're that, you're... Listen, if Jesus said it's good, it's good. But back to expectations. If you're a Pentecostal Joe over here, and you come in here just chomping at the bit, I wish they'd get in them. I wish they'd do. I wish they'd allow more time. And then you got somebody else over here that's, man, this is wild. This is like overwhelming to me. The expectations are wide. Let's all of us, are you here today? Let's all of us just back off, take a breath. Let's let our expectations be simple and let God take us where He needs. He's not living in the past. He is the God of today and greater things in the future. Let's just let Jesus be Jesus. So here's what Jesus, He says some fascinating things here real quick. John 15, He says, I'm still in the book of Luke. How did I wind up in Luke again? There we go. I've gone over here twice. It keeps going back to Luke. Maybe I ought to check what I'm talking about. John 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That right there is a mistranslation. The whole idea here is looking at the analogy, the illustration of a vineyard. If you look into the original Greek, it's not taken away. It means that he lifts up. And if you study vineyards, even to date, that work in that fashion, when they see a vine that is struggling, they take that vine where it's laying on the ground, they pick it up, and they clean it. Hence the word following in a few minutes called purge, to clean. To clean. They pick that vine up. They raise it up. They clean it off. They dress it and put it in a place where it can produce. There is another scripture used to produce fear. And even if it did say that, this is before Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. But even then, that is not what. This is King James, and some of your Bibles may say something a little different, but this is not take away, kill you, send you to hell, cease to exist. There is a verse of scripture a little while later that says that there are branches that are not hooked up, that wither and die, and that men cast, using the analogy of a vineyard, completely separate context, cast them into a place where they're burned. Okay? Separate thing. But this right here is when you're struggling and not producing, the Bible says that he picks the vine up, he cleanses it, dresses it, and makes it produce if we're hooked up. Look at it. John 15, 1. I am the vine, my Father is the husband, every branch in me that beareth, every branch, notice the difference is in me. Every branch in me. There's the context. That beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every, so that right there is a bad translation. He lifts it up. And he cleanses it. That it may bring, now the last phrase makes sense. It didn't make sense before. How do you cleanse something you took away? That it may bring forth more fruit. How many know that Jesus' desire for you is to have a fruitful life, a fruitful ministry? Every one of you in here, I don't care what your vocation is, God will use you in that vocation. A word of encouragement. Amen. Whatever. Aren't you glad for the anointing that makes the difference? So every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he lifts up, he cleanses it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, here's the expectation. Are you ready? I would encourage every week, and you're going to hear me repeat this throughout. But this morning, some of us, I just really said, some people just need to relax. Quit chomping at the bit. Come in here with your expectation being, oh, I get to worship. Do you know that there's a lot of places still in this world where you cannot walk in here like we do? And be critical of the music and how it's too loud and the lighting's too low or too high or it's too hot or too cold. I've been in Cuba, I've been over in Europe, I've been in other places where this was done in secret with fear of penalty. Do you realize what a blessing it is to walk in here together with brothers and sisters and to worship God? There are those working hard to change that. Educate yourself and find out who they are and vote accordingly. Ugh, someday I'm going to have to blast that wide open. Spiritual blindness politically amazes me. And we are filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to listen to what God is saying. Anyway, that's another story. Now you're clean. Here's an expectation. Jesus speaking to his disciples, told them about the Holy Ghost, what he was going to do, and then he makes this shocking statement. You're clean through the word which I have spoken to you. There's another scenario, we won't turn there, but I want to remind you of it, in which Jesus sets about the process of washing his disciples' feet. And Peter, whose name is from the word Petra, stone. In different places throughout Scripture, everything that is there is divinely inspired of God. We see over and over again, Peter, who represents law. Peter, stone, who said, Lord, though all these forsake you, I will, there's the law, there it's coming, there it comes. I'm setting up a law born out of my will. I'm going to be better than them in that I will never. He set himself up. And three times amid cursing and swearing, he denied that he even knew Jesus. Now, look, behold the mercy and grace of God. For who was the one that God chose in his divine wisdom to be the first preacher of the new covenant? Peter, so don't beat yourself up. Let Jesus be unveiled. How many love Jesus today? So Peter, Galatians, we're looking at the law of the flesh, the law of the spirit. We may or may not get there today. I don't know. I know that I'm right where I belong right now. Jesus is confronted once again. Maybe confront is not the right word. But Peter says, oh, whoa. Now you're not washing my feet. That's religious. You're not going to, we'll wash your feet. A lot of us in here, we're good givers. But do we have good receivers? It's great to give. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. In that we're not being selfish and we're trusting God and we're giving. But I'll tell you what, there is great pride also associated with a certain type of giving because you're in control. One of the stages of growing in God is humbling yourself and being able to receive. Can you receive? Can you receive? David in Psalms 116 says, Lord, we shared this with our men's group this last week, 7 o'clock every Wednesday. David says, Lord, how can I repay you for all of your benefits for me? Let me remind you what benefits he was talking about. Psalms 103 lays out the benefits. Where David, under the old covenant, knew by the Spirit of God the importance of worship. And he is speaking to himself in song. And it would behoove us to do the same. He is speaking to himself ahead of his time. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Not because he was a great guy, he was a mess. David was a mess. He deserved death penalty under the old law. A murderer? To protect his adultery? We're just getting started. But he'd caught a glimpse of who God was and he presumed upon his grace. David caught something way ahead of his time. Oh, the beauty of that. Religion doesn't have room for it. You better be careful, Pastor Lee. You're going to give people license. Listen, they already have a license. People are going to do what they want to do anyway, and I'm not going to be able to manipulate them through a Sunday morning service to live better. The only thing I can do is unveil Jesus so the Holy Spirit can do the convincing and the teaching. Religion will dress you up good for a little while. But you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. I'm not calling you a pig. I'm saying that old nature, you can dress it up all you want, but until he changes you from a pig, let me know that that old nature died with Jesus. I'm not a pig anymore. I'm a son. If you were here last week, we're not servants. We're not children. We're not even friends. How many were here last week? That's good news. Sons. Let me let that just kind of settle in. Okay, now where was I at? So let me get back over here. Peter says, the voice of religion. Oh, no. I will wash your feet. You won't wash mine. And Jesus has strong words for him. The one who doesn't let me do this is none of mine. Why was this important? This is a picture of something much more. He was calling them out. They were called disciples, the 12. He did move them from servants. We see that in this same chapter that we're reading where we were at last week. He moved them from servants to friend. Why? He said, because I'm revealing things to you that the Father has revealed to me. He was already making the bend for one day after death, burial, and resurrection, they would become sons. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, to as many as received him. Let me need to write that down. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power. Are you here this morning? The power to become the sons of God. That's amazing. So here's Jesus. He's talking to disciples. He's calling them out. Peter says, oh, you're not going to wash my feet. Let me know. It's good to give. But it's a part of growing in God when we can open up and receive. David knew this. The benefits he enumerates go like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that are with me. How many can quote it with me? Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that are with me. Bless his holy name. He says, forget not his benefits. You want to know what the benefits are that he's talking about in Psalm 116? Here they are. The one who forgives, and I love the use of word all. David said it couldn't be. In his mind, he knew it couldn't be any other way. Because under the law, he should be dead for what he did. He got a glimpse of all. I don't know how. We know the gospel, the Bible says the gospel was preached to Moses. The gospel was preached to Abraham. Fascinating stuff. Don't have time to go into it today. Fascinating. David got a glimpse of the gospel. And David is... he is right there enumerating the benefits. The one who forgives all my iniquities. Would you raise your hands this morning all over the house? How many are glad for the one who has forgiven now? Fully ratified because of the blood. Today is Palm Sunday. Oh, they shouted his praises. That's the way law does. Within a few days, they would be saying, kill him. He humbled himself, became a servant, obedient unto death, whereby he has been given a name, Philippians 2, that is above every name. How many are glad for the name of Jesus? And through his work, every sin. One more time, let's lift our hands all up. Aren't you glad today for the forgiveness and cleansing, eternal work of God? The next one is right there with your hands still up all over the room. The one who heals. I'm not saying this. People want to argue with me all the time. We didn't heal all your disease. You got to do it. It's his will. I'm giving you his will. It's right here in his word. Who heals all my diseases. Who crowns my life with tender mercies and his tender mercies and his loving kindness. Who restores my youth. Come on, Jim in the back. Who restores my youth like the eagle. That's the benefits David is talking about. And in Psalms 116, he says, how can I thank you for all these benefits? Vic, raise your hands right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for a supernatural undoing of some things that have gotten into your head. And Father, right now for an undoing of some things that got into your chest. And right now I speak the healing power of God over your John. Reach over there and put your hands on his lungs. Father God, in Jesus' name for a supernatural lifting. Your time is not yet. You need to be going up and not down. Father, in Jesus' name for the life of God and the strength of God, would you put your hands this way? Father God, we thank you for making a work, Father God, in his heart, in his mind, and in his body, in Jesus' name. Vic, do you receive that? Amen. Are you going to expect it? Lana, can you stand with him? If any two shall agree, if any two shall agree, Father, we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Say, I receive it. Clear lungs, openness, in Jesus' name. Will you take that? Do you take that? I mean, do you really take that? Absolutely. I'm expecting a good report today, right now. Lungs be open, clear. Strength of God. Purpose. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Anyway, I thank God for divine interruptions. All right, so back to where we were. Where were we? Benefits. He who forgives all, heals all, crowns. This is what he does. How many are glad for Jesus today? Three of you in the room are glad for Jesus today. How many are glad for Jesus today? Reach out there and take a hold of your own. Amen. Shout it out with me, for the Lord is good. You call that a shout? I've heard you at the baseball game. Come on. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Man, we get so wimpy in church. You guys be screaming your bloody heads off at a baseball game or rodeo or wherever else. Hallelujah. We need a few more radicals. At any rate, praise the Lord. Once again, where was I? So he's talking about benefits. Here's the benefit. And he says, Lord, how can I repay you? Sorry, men's group, you're hearing it again. How can I repay you for all the benefits? He says, I will lift up the cup. This is in Psalms 116. I will lift up the cup. The greatest way you can give thanks to God for what he has done for you is to take more. To receive more. That is the humblest. That is a great place of growth. When we can receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive in terms of giving to men. Once again, context. New covenant, old is everything. The more blessed to give than to receive, the context is to men. But when it comes to God, it is not more blessed for you to give to him than to receive. It is way more blessed to receive. Humble yourself and receive. Come on, all over the room today. That was a command. Humble yourself and receive. Yeah, but Pastor Lee, if you knew who I was during the work week, shut up. I don't care. Nobody in here is perfect. Stick your broken feet and broken legs under the table of bounty. Let them be hidden as God pours out his manifest grace on you. And you'll have less of that junk in your life as a result of receiving than you ever did by you trying to clean yourself up. That's good preaching already. Praise the Lord. Receive. Peter didn't want to receive. Oh, no. Be it far from me that I would do that. I will wash your feet, but you will not wash mine. How you doing, Vic? Come on. How you doing, brother? Praise God. See, this is important because it was a picture of our day. How many are glad today that we are sons and daughters? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You better get a hold of that. living that every day. But there's a part of us. You ever heard this phrase? That guy's so spiritually, heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. So super spiritual. Everything's a thee and a thou and a bless the Lord and turn around and hit people over the head with the Bible and always preach them when they're supposed to be working. Their boss is paying them to work and they're preaching. You know those kind of people? Preach after work or on break. When you're working, your man's paying you, work. All right? Okay, but I want you to see something else. Flip that around. Now, as I'm getting a hold of who I am in Christ, how many know that every day, no matter who you are, temptations are going to come at you? Why? Because our feet are planted on terra firma. And in the process of walking through life, our feet are going to become dusty and dirty. And we're going to get dirt down in between our toes. Picture of the day they lived in. They all got pretty nice. I got boots on almost all the way up to my knee. But there was a day when sandals and what they were doing meant a lot. Because your feet would get filthy. And you get dirt up under your toenails and sweat and little mud down in between your toes. And you get dirty up over your ankles. Come in a house and somebody, see, that's the part of us that touches planet Earth. It represents our humanness. I'm so glad that I'm much more than that. But my humanness is His temple. Isn't that something? But this temple right now is in touch with planet Earth. And my feet through the process. I'm winning more and more battles. How about you? But every once in a while, somebody cuts me off in traffic or on the lake. And what comes up out of me is not good. And my feet get a little dirty. I didn't say I voiced it. You don't have to voice it. Jesus said, if it's in your heart, done, it's over. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? You don't have to voice it. Somebody else voices it, and you look at them like, oh, you're a rabbi. He needs Jesus. And you've been way worse, quietly, while you smile, you dirty, rotten son of a... Dirt. Everybody say dirt. I may know that every time I walk into the house of God, preaching or receiving, I want your expectation to just get simple to this morning. Jesus says, you're clean. Whoo, man, did you hear? He says, you're clean through the word that I, not I, what he's saying, you're clean through the word. One of the greatest expectations you can have every Sunday is the privilege and the honor of walking in here and tuning everything out and worshiping God. Man, every Sunday, I almost said something and I shouldn't do it. I'm going to stop right there. There's a particular person I watch in here, hands heavenward. I'd love to have the picture. Nothing else matters. And then turn that little switch on. Say, man, if nothing else happens today, the best is happening as I sit under the Word of God and my feet are washed. Oh, Pentecostals, they got all into worship services, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I've seen some people moved by the Spirit of God do that sort of thing, and God just break barriers. But the church got a hold of that and made it an ordinance. It never was an ordinance. It never was anything. It was a picture of what the Word does in the life of a born-again believer. It turned it into religious weird. No wonder they think we're nuts. But I'll never forget a time as I'm sitting here, I'm seeing Sally Bates way off there in the back. A day that she came over with a towel and a basin. My brother Caleb, Caleb would have never known what she was going through. She would have never known what Caleb was going through. She came, led by the Spirit of God, and said, Caleb, I'm here to wash your feet and to speak some things. Holy schmoly. It was powerful. My brother has never forgotten that, Sally. That doesn't mean we turn it into a church ordinance and now we're going to, everybody take your shoes off and we're going to, please, you're missing the point. The point is right now, whether it's me or Chad or Sally or John or Richie or whoever, when the Word of God is going forth, that's why you got to make sure it's the Word of God. That's why I quote so much Scripture and I'm asking you right now all the time, my preaching and ranting and going over is not going to change anything in you if you don't get the Word of God for you. And I believe that you are. How many are getting a hold of the Word of God? The Bible says that you're clean through the Word that I, Jesus, have spoken unto you. How many would lift your hands up all over the room today and say, Jesus, thank you for washing my feet right now. It is good for the brethren to dwell together in harmony, for the anointing of God in a corporate setting to flow and to do what only He can do. Whoa, it's important for you. It amazes me how flaky people have gotten in grace. I'm not talking about our own church. I'm talking about the church down the road. How flaky we've gotten in grace. The church is just kind of something you do when you feel like it. Man, this is the foot washing of the Spirit. When we come together and worship God and are cleansed, make it a priority in your life. I'm glad for Jesus today. Turn to your neighbor, say, clean feet, restful soul. Come on, clean feet, restful soul. Clean feet, restful soul. How many are glad for the Word of God today? Here's your expectation when you walk in here on Sunday mornings. Let those around you know it and be aware of it. Let them know. I came here to worship God and get clean. Now, this doesn't mean that you're walking dirty all week. Don't be weird. All week long, the confession of the Word of God coming out of your mouth is washing your feet and those around you. You say, where do you get that from? I'll tell you where. Because the Paul said that wives, in reference to their husbands, if a few husbands would do this instead of complain, he says, your responsibility to your wife is to wash her continually with the water of the Word. If you're complaining more about her than washing her spiritual feet with the Word, you got a problem, Bubba. Humble yourself. That's good preaching. Anna says, preach it, brother. What are you doing, John? He says, better. Speak the Word over her. Love her. Oh, we love to hear wives submit. It's predicated on something else. Husbands, love your wives the best you can, you know? You know? No, that's not what he said. He said, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How many of us deserve it? I asked, how many of us deserve that kind of love? Not one of us in here. Some days we deserve it a lot less. Does it change his love for us? Not even a smidgen. If it were possible, he would tune it up. Except he's already tuned it, blasted it clear out of the universe. Super abounding grace. So guys, lesson for you today. That's where you start. You ain't going to do that in your own strength. We need Jesus. I think it'd be a little easier for wives to submit. You got to be careful with that word because that doesn't mean doormat. It doesn't denote dictatorship. It doesn't mean less of value. It means that God has an order, and when you come to an impasse, the wife willingly defers as they together honor God. But it will be much easier for her to do that if Bubba will do his part. Love the church even as Christ. Love your wife even as Christ also loved the church. That's your free marriage seminar. Come on, lift your hands all over the room. Say, Jesus, help me. I trust you. I can tell already we're not going to get to chapter 5. It'll be, and it won't be this next week either, it'll be the following. And it's going to be so good. This is good right now. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless him as he goes. Protect him. What's your husband's towing company? I can never remember. Tri-City, what's the matter with me? How awesome to see him here. Bless him as he goes. He got the buzz you heard. Called out. Bless him as he goes. Let these words reverberate through his mind. Good things. And marriage and husband and wife and prospering in that business where he has promised. Hallelujah. My God shall supply all my needs according to how faithful I am and how hard I... Oh, no, that's right. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Prospering me in relationship, business, and protection, and provision, and vision, and babies, and grandbabies, and right on down the line. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Four of you. I got you. Hallelujah. One more blessing. Clean. Say the word clean. Man, it's important. If we could get this turned around, church isn't about you. It's all about him. My expectation when I come in here is to worship him and then to receive from him. It's a foot washing. Washing. Yeah, where I'm from. Foot washing. Goes right along with oil. Let me know what oil is. Oil. My dad was born and raised in western Pennsylvania, and my mother was born in right on the Louisiana-Texas line, raised most of her life in Georgia. I was 13 years old. I'm walking around the kitchen one day, and so I got this blended lingo, you know? And I go, fly swatter, that's what that is. Shut up, Helen. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Cleansed. A foot washing. This is the weirdest series I've ever done on Galatians. One of my favorite books, and we never go there. This is a series on Galatians. We could never get there, right? When we do, it's going to be bueno. Okay, so. But see, this is what Paul, this is why he just walked in a short little 6-chapter book and goes, I'm tired of this. Bam! This is the stuff he was talking about. John 15. Nevertheless, now you are clean. Now let's slow down and read it together. You're clean. Say it to yourself. Hear yourself say the words. I'm clean through the words spoken to me this morning. Something about this. Beautiful. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear. He's speaking before he ever ratified the new covenant. He's speaking forward of time. This wasn't possible yet. But the time would come when the Spirit of God would live within the heart of man. Abide in me, I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Jump on down to verse 7. If you abide in me, we're talking about expectations this morning. What are you expecting when you come? Well, I hope I've helped you out just to simplify. Settle down. Get quiet in your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing. I'm very glad for that this morning. Ah, hallelujah. Here's the next thing he says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. We hear a lot about God's will. People like to say that everything that happens, happens for a reason. Therefore, everything is God's will. That's wrong. James 4:7 says that there are going to be some things that happen in life as a result of the work of the enemy, and you are to resist him steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter, are you here today? James 4:7, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Everything isn't from God. Are you here today? Here we hear him say something very... He actually trusts you with the result of him being in you and you being in him. He trusts you with your will. I don't know if that went right over your head just now or not, but he trusts you. He's saying, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask what... Read your Bible. Does it say that or not? Ask what you will, and it shall be done. He's saying, you get a revelation of who I am, and you're living in me, and allowing me to live in you. I trust you with where you're going with that. I'll help you. And there's a power that comes into play. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Don't let it happen. Open your mouth and begin to speak some things. You know why that's important for you to get a hold of that? Next verse, herein, in this, is my Father. Holla! Anybody in the house? Herein is my Father glorified. That you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me. I want you to think about this. This is before the new covenant. He's revealing a whole new living way, Hebrews calls it. He says, here's how things have changed. As the Father has loved me. He didn't say... I love you because you're great people. Or you're doing good. You're doing better than you used to. You know, you still got some... But you, that's not what he said. He said, the Father loves you in the same way, the same quality, in the same amount, in the same depth, in the same... height. This is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 3. We need a revelation of the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of God. And here he's laying it out for them. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Come on, people. Are you here this morning? Can you lift your hands all over the house? I don't know how this could be possible. But I'm taking it by faith. Right here, I'm going to humble myself and receive. I'm telling you, people, this is the gospel. You meditate on this through the week, I guarantee you, you're going to struggle less. Temptation just won't stick. You will be a Teflon believer when it comes to the enemy's attack. Watch it slide off. It's important for you to get into this every day. Ran into somebody yesterday. I really, quite frankly, wish it was somebody else. She said, I listen to you every day. It's changing my life. I'm not always able to make it to church, but I just want you to know, crying. Stuffed a bunch of cash in my pocket. I wish people would not do that. I'm going to run it through. Don't worry. But I mean, this was her. It was a beautiful picture. I say run it through the books. You understand? But a beautiful picture. But you know what? You need more than Mr. Leiford. Pull, draw. You've heard me mention Womack, these books. And always, don't ever trust the man. Totally. Hear me. Don't ever believe anything Bubba says. Because I said it. As you pull this stuff in, God gave gifts to men. He gave them in the form of men. Different men have certain things that they can lend to your walk with God. But just take it before the Lord and compare it with the Word. And if there's a hitch, leave it alone. Shelve it. Put it on the shelf. You hear something I say and you're not ready for it, there's no guilt. Shelve it. But when it's straight out of the Word of God, you can draw that in and say, man, I'll take that. That'll save my life. How many are glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye, continue in my love. I want to back up a minute because this is so important, because everything we're talking about, our discussion in Galatians, flesh, covenant, Spirit, we're going to come back to that so you understand what these terms mean. Versus spirit covenant. This is what all this is addressing. Go back to verse 7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. Now I'm going to show you a picture. You hear me quote this all the time, but a lot of times I'm guilty of quoting and it just goes, I'm not saying you're too dumb to catch what I'm saying. I would not be that arrogant. I'm saying sometimes in our effort to put out so much information, we're moving way too fast. If I were in your place, I couldn't keep up any better. I don't mean that wrong. What I'm saying is in teaching and preaching, a lot of times you're guilty of doing that. But I want you to look at Ephesians 3:20 one more time, now in the light of what we've been talking about today. The result, the preceding verses talk about Paul's prayer by the Holy Ghost for the family of God. How many are part of the family of God this morning? Paul's prayer by the Holy Ghost for the family of God. Shout it out. This is me. I'm a son. A daughter. Not a friend. Not a servant. Not a child. Come on, shout it out. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. You know that by Galatians chapter 4. Read it. I'm glad for Jesus. But Paul is saying, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's saying, listen, I'm praying that your eyes would be opened to the ministry of Jesus. What is his ministry right now? He intercedes for us continually at the right hand of the Father. He's not pointing a finger. He's not judging. He's not angry some days with us, disapproving the next. He is not your ex-husband. I'm not being to be cute. That's painful for some. I need you to hear that. He's not your ex-husband. This is a different man. I said this is a different man. For some of you that came out of homes that were broken and abused, this is a different father. You've been refathered because of the blood of Jesus. I don't care where you were raised or what side of the track, you've been refathered. You have royal blood. The King, by His Spirit, lives within. A bounty is set before me. Paul is saying, I'm praying for you, Ephesians, that you get a revelation of His ministry for you. And in that process, that your eyes will be open to the length, breadth, depth, and height of his love. Because here's the point. This is what Jesus is saying in John 15. He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you... I trust you with some stuff. That's pretty amazing. Paul says the same thing, but now the new covenant is complete. It's changed. Remember last week? Can you shout it out with me? Everything has changed. Here we see another picture of it. I'm praying for you that you get a revelation of what has already happened. And here's what it looks like. A revelation of his love, ongoing, now gives way to spirit-inspired words that read like this in Ephesians 3:20. Don't let this become cliche. Bob, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly. A lot of people know and agree with and acknowledge, oh, you hear it all the time. It's a religious slogan. Well, you know, God is able. What that means is I have no clue how or what, and I don't have anything to do. He's just able. No, the Bible says when he filled us with the Holy Ghost and when he stepped into our lives that we would be his, Corinthians says, his temple, his hands and his feet, preaching over in Acts 17 to the people at an altar, the unknown God. He quotes our own poets and says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Say, I'm called with a holy calling. Oh, man. A lot of people say God is able. How many know God is able? That's kind of beside the point. Of course we know he's able. But here's what happens with the unveiling of Jesus. Here's what happens with the context of flesh covenant and spirit covenant. He moves from stone to fleshy tables of the heart. He moves from a temple made with hands to a vessel, the real you. When this body goes on, continues to live in us. This temple, we're glad for Jesus today. Now unto him that is able, oh, God is able, amen, he's able, he's able, he's so able, God is able, he's so able. Yeah, but his design in this thinking is he's not just able, he's able in you. Don't swallow it, Vic. I don't care who's talking to you. Look at me. Say with me, I have the mind of Christ. I know some things. The anointing makes up the difference. Come on, are you here today? You hear me, Don? You did. You heard here. Whew. We're glad for Jesus today. Oh, he's able. No, but that's not the point. The point of the revelation is able in you. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above what the law prescribed and what the prophets could do, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Amplified Bible says, or imagine, that's what it means. According to the power of God. Not what it says. According the power that works in you. Read it. Now in him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Now in him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh, that works. Come on all over the room, would you, one more time. Let's worship together. Well, I love the verse, Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, did you get something out of that sermon introduction today? I don't know about you, but I'm full. I'm so glad. He truly is, as Paul said, he's for us and not against us. The devil, the world, people that hate his cause count us every day for the slaughter. But Paul says, by the Spirit of God, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You glad you came to church today? You got something to live on today? Amen. Say with me, I hate religion. Come on, say it out loud. I hate religion. Never done a thing for me. But I love Jesus. Only one kind of religion I don't hate. It's pure religion. A reflection of grace. So it's not really religion at all anyway. Into James 1, taking care of those that can't take care of themselves. The love of God constrains us. Say one more time, I hate religion, but I love Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for separating what needs separated. For bringing to me what needs to be brought. For Moses gave the law, John 1:17, but Jesus brought to me grace and truth. And this truth, he said, will set you free. Now, let's stand in the presence of God this morning, all over the room. Hallelujah. Let's just worship together a few moments. Hallelujah, Lord. How we love you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for a deeper, greater revelation of your love for us. And Father, I thank you today that it would move from a slogan to an eternal truth that explodes on the inside of us. There is a power that works in me that allows the God who is able. There is a power that works in me that allows, gives permission to the God who is able to do way more than you think you're asking for. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for it today. Don't let yourself be talked into sickness and disease. Don't let yourself be talked into lack. Don't let yourself be talked into defeat. Don't let yourself be talked into the status quo. Don't let yourself be talked into. I don't care who the voice is from. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be reactionary. Smile. Pray in the Holy Ghost under your breath. Bless them, but you move on now unto him that is able to do. There is a power that works in you that gives permission for the God who is able to do much more than you could ask or imagine. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. What do you do with this? Would you lift up your cup this morning all over the house? See your cup. The cup of your salvation. Cup that had nothing to do with you. He handed to you and he said, this is my salvation. This belongs to you. It ever flows, runs over, never runs out, never runs dry. The cup of my salvation this morning, Father, with our hands lifted high, we receive from you. Come on all over the house. We receive from you. Come on all over from the top of our head. Come on, I'm receiving with you to the soles of my feet. Your goodness, your strength, your healing, your working. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Your feet feel clean this morning?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you came to church? I hope you're writing these scriptures down. Angie has so graciously provided. Listen, we're not supposed to continue to worship. This is a Holy Ghost interruption. She has these notepads. Where are they? They're not to take home. They're not to steal. They're for you to leave here. Here they are. Take notes. Write the scriptures down. Meditate in them. It's your meditation, not my preaching, that's going to change things. How many are being changed?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Word of God. You can write it down on the tape. Yeah, you can keep the piece of paper. We don't. But leave the tablet. They've got highlighters and pens and for you to use and then leave it here for somebody else. Write these scriptures down. Aren't you glad for the Word of God this morning? Hallelujah. You're clean through the Word that I have spoken to you. Hallelujah. Man, you got some homework to do. Don't look at me like that. I said, you've got some homework to do. Amen. I'm going to bless. Wash. Open your mouth. Quit using an excuse about being timid and that's not me. Open your mouth and bless her. Find a scripture and speak it over openly. You can make babies. You can do that. That's not bold. That's about as normal as can be. Only the world can twist that up. Amen. We're doing all right? How's that for a closing service?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for your blessing on our lives, for what you're doing. Altars remain open. I will remain here with a few others to pray with you. Don't leave here. If you're not born again, I'd love to lead you. Every week we got somebody that comes up and receives Jesus. Almost every week.
Amen.
We wait around. People that have received other things. So as we dismiss in worship, carry your conversation to the lobby. Don't be in a hurry to leave. Meet somebody. Let's be the body that we're called to be. Altars remain open as we continue to worship. Have a wonderful, blessed week in Jesus. Meditate on these things and lay hold of eternal life. God bless you as you go. Amen. Let's worship. Hallelujah.
That lay between us. How high.